name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today, the day after Theophany, we celebrate the Acts of St. John the Baptist. And you might wonder, why is it that we have yet one more feast for St. John the Baptist? Because he has so many feasts. And the matter of fact, he's commemorated every Tuesday of the week. So even every week he's commemorated. And the reason for that is that he played a pivotal role in the Gospel. Only two of the Gospels talk about the Nativity of Christ, but all four Gospels, at the very beginning of the Gospels, talk about St. John the Baptist and his role as the forerunner. So he was a very significant figure in the Gospels. And in Matthew chapter 11, Christ talks about the significance of St. John the Baptist. It begins with verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? The fathers tell us that St. John the Baptist didn't send his disciples because he himself doubted who Christ was, because he recognized who Christ was, as we just read in the second gospel. But that among his disciples there were those that were beginning to question who Christ was, because here their leader was in prison, and they expected that the Messiah would come and he would establish an earthly kingdom right away and set everything right in quick order. And they were beginning to doubt, because here their teacher was sitting in prison for having told the truth about Herod and his illicit marriage with his brother Philip's wife. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Christ is alluding to two different prophecies of Isaiah to talk about what the Messiah would do. First of all, Isaiah chapter 35, beginning with verse 3, he says, Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap up as a hart, or as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out in the streams, and streams in the desert. And then in Isaiah chapter 61, beginning with verse 1, he says, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So Christ fulfilled all these prophecies. As a matter of fact, in the Gospel of Luke, at the very beginning of his ministry, he goes to a synagogue and he reads that last prophecy. And he says, Today, this has been fulfilled in your hearing. And the people didn't accept that. They didn't understand that. And as a matter of fact, they were prepared to stone him. But miraculously, Christ walked through their midst, and somehow they didn't see him, and he was delivered from them. And then Christ adds this phrase, And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended of me. And he's saying that specifically to these disciples of John that didn't quite understand how the Messiah could do the things that Christ was doing and yet not do the things that they expected. In verse 7 it says, And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? A reed blowing in the wind is a common sight in the wilderness, but by talking about a reed shaken in the wind, he probably was talking about maybe expecting to see some weak man that would be blown about by the winds of the times. But that was the exact opposite of who St. John the Baptist was. He was a man that was firm and resolute, and regardless of all the pressure that was placed on him, he stood and he confessed the truth. But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. John was hardly a member of a court that would be dressed in fine clothes and would be currying favor with the king. Again, he was the exact opposite. He didn't care what the king had to say about it as long as the truth was told, and he was true to the law of God and to what was right. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. St. John the Baptist was not merely a prophet, but he was a prophet. There had been a long period of time since the last prophet had proclaimed the word of God to the people of Israel, and here they had one. And St. John the Baptist was one that you'll find talked about in Jewish writings. He's talked about very extensively in other writings, particularly Josephus. So he was a very notable figure, because after all these centuries of there having been no prophets, this man came on the scene and was very much in the spirit and tradition of the prophets. But he was more than that, because he pointed the way, he pointed towards the person whose way he was preparing. And he also baptized Christ. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. That's the prophecy of Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, in English, it's the meaning of this passage is often lost. Christ was talking to people who didn't yet fully understand who he was, and he didn't want to come right out then and say, yeah, I'm the Messiah. And so here he is, he's praising St. John the Baptist, and he's talking about how great he was, but obliquely he's referring to the fact that there is one greater than St. John the Baptist. When he talks about the least, the word there in Greek can also be translated as younger. And so what he's saying is notwithstanding the fact that St. John the Baptist is the greatest born among women, or at least there's not been any greater than him, he says, he that is younger is greater in the kingdom of heaven. And he referring to himself, because in his earthly, in his incarnation, he was younger than St. John the Baptist, and he was certainly esteemed as less than St. John the Baptist, but he was greater than John the Baptist. And also when it talks about those born of women, Blessed Theophylact points out that Christ was not one born of a woman, he was one born of a virgin. And the word for woman in Greek is a word that's usually used as a reference to a wife, whereas the Virgin Mary was not a wife. She was betrothed, but not a wife, but she was a virgin. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. This is another verse that's kind of cryptic and it's difficult for us to understand. But the point that he's making there is that you don't drift into the kingdom of God. You don't just sort of coast your way and then suddenly find yourself saved by just happening to stumble across it. You have to seize the kingdom of heaven as you would if you were an army that's trying to take a city. You have to seek to acquire it with diligence and with faith. It's not going to just happen. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if he will receive it, this is Elijah, which was to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. St. John the Baptist was not the reincarnation of the prophet Elijah, as some New Agers have often tried to argue. So when St. John the Baptist was asked by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, are you Elijah? He could truthfully say, no, I'm not. But he was, as the archangel Gabriel said when he announced his birth, he will also go before him, that is Christ, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And here the archangel Gabriel was referencing another prophecy from Malachi, which says, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. That's the ending on that somewhat sour note in that last phrase of the prophecy of Malachi. But that was the expectation that the Jews had, that was at the end the prophet Elijah would come. And as a matter of fact, to this day, when Jews celebrate the Passover, they leave a place for the prophet Elijah at the table, and they have a cup that they pour for the prophet Elijah, because they're still waiting for the day when the prophet Elijah will show up and announce the coming of the Messiah. But that day has already come. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified over children. So these same Jews that rejected Christ, not to say that all Jews did, because even to this day, Jews continue to embrace Christ, and certainly the early church was formed of those Jews that did recognize who Christ was. But of those Jews that have rejected Christ, they continue to wait for the coming of the Messiah. They continue to pour that cup for the prophet Elijah and waiting. And yet they were blind when he actually did come. And the reason for that is because they continue to make excuses. When St. John the Baptist came and preached repentance, they didn't want to repent. And they said, he's demon-possessed. When Christ came and he talked about the love of God and the grace of God and the coming kingdom, they said, well, he's not very ascetic. He's a glutton and a winebibber. Why should we listen to anything that he has to say? So two opposite cases, they had opposite reactions, but in both cases, they were merely excuses. Excuses to reject the truth of God and to actually change their life. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, when we hear the truths of God, do we find excuses that prevent us from actually embracing that truth and allowing it to change our life? Or will we be, as Christ said, one who seizes the kingdom of God, who actively seeks it and desires it and tries to attain it through faith and diligence? Amen.